everybody, and welcome back to Katie's Crib. In this episode, we are talking about a very familiar feeling for a lot of parents, and that feeling is called burnout. Okay, it's not just feeling stressed out. It is a long-lasting feeling of stress, exhaustion. It leads to emotional detachment, feeling generally ineffective. It is a very real thing, you guys, and it also sometimes, it can be difficult to admit that you're going through it because so many of us, me especially, want to act like we've got this whole motherhood thing very, you know, covered, and we're all just showing what we think our representative should be. It's an easy trap to fall into, and especially in this day and age when we feel like we have to be going 24/7, our phones are always on, we're always reachable, we're being pulled in so many different directions, work life, home life, responsibilities as a mom, a wife, a friend, the list, that's the burnout talking, goes on and on and on. And I think, on top of it all, I think how much we're working these days makes it really hard to really sit down and think about who the hell we really are. And I think motherhood is the biggest sort of identity shift in, has been so far in my life. And I was really interested to bring on my dear, dear friend, Troyan Belisario, who is a close friend for a very long time, a beautiful new mother, an exceptional human being, to talk about this. And we're here to talk about your experiences of being a new mom and going through how we talk about and deal with this new mom life. So let's get started. Hi, Troyan.
Hi.
I was like, when do I talk? Also, you have to understand that this new mom thing is so recent for me.
So recent.
That I was listening to you speaking in the opening and totally imagining myself, as I have with every other episode of this podcast, pregnant behind the wheel of my car, just listening and like just being like, Katie, give me everything. Like, tell me everything.
I know. I honestly was like waiting. When is it too, like, guys, Troy and I are very good friends, and I literally been sitting here being like, when is it too soon to ask Troy and Belisario to be a guest on my podcast? And I think I've made it like, I think we're past the fourth trimester.
Yes, we are. Actually, which is hilarious because I just finished, as I passed the fourth trimester, I finished that like Happiest Baby on the Block book.
Perfect. We had Dr. Karp on as a guest.
Which I obviously loved. And I read the book like voraciously. I devoured it. And I was like, oh, this is going to be so helpful. And then like the last line is like, and so when you're out of the fourth trimester, it'll be a whole new set of things. And I was like, I'm literally out of the fourth trimester tomorrow.
Oh my
God. I'm
so
glad I pushed off reading this book.
And this shit doesn't end.
No.
Sometimes it occurs to me that, like, my kid's going to be a teenager. Like,
oh my God.
Like, the when he, at one, my kid started hitting people all the time, me included, and I texted the doctor, like, so freaked out. And she was like, well, at least he hasn't spit in your face and said, fuck you, mom, yet. And I was like, oh my God.
That's
like,
going to happen.
That's, like, a thing.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be raising human beings. Mm-hmm. Speaking about you being a relatively new mom.
Yes.
How in the hell are you holding up?
You know, it's very funny. Last night, I went out. I, of course, mom brain. Like, I thought
it's
I
a
had
real
a dinner.
Thing.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
I thought I had a dinner, so I asked our wonderful nanny to come and watch her. And then, of course, the dinner was, like, next week. And so I was asking Patrick, my husband.
Which is so something you would have never done before having a baby,
no.
right? No! That's what mom brain is, you guys. Like,
no.
It is literally making mistakes you would never, like, showing up on the wrong place in the wrong day.
All
like,
the
it's
time.
Crazy.
I mean, I fully, the entire drive over here, had to check my calendar, like, three times. I was like, it is at Katie's house, and it is at 1:30. I know this, but I have to keep on checking. He was like, it's okay, let's go take a night out, let's go see a movie.
Nice.
And it
Good
was
for you.
Amazing. We went out, we saw a movie.
Wow.
But we were standing outside and we've been talking a lot about if there's anything he can do to help me with my exhaustion or anything like that. And I just kind of said, I was like, you know when you're a little kid and you're so tired you just want to cry?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, so if you see me crying, it's just that kind of like, I'm just a little kid right now. I'm just so tired.
You're
I just
so
want to cry. You
oh,
know,
my God.
But it's awesome, and it's totally to be expected.
God, you're saying this shit, and I'm literally looking at you being like, am I going to have a second kid? Why would I ever do this to myself? Like,
well,
because you're just in the thick of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm literally sitting here being like, wow, life is funny.
Yeah.
Either burnout brain or mom brain, which sounds like we're going to get into this. We have a combo platter going on here.
We really do. Yeah.
I am sitting here being like, am I ever going to have a second child? That is so scary to even ask. And I'm asking all of my listeners on Katie's Crib. What do you guys think?
What do you think? When will it happen? But it is interesting too, because we now know a lot of people who've chosen to, because they are in the mode of the baby, you know, they're like, they're choosing to have...
Bang it out.
Exactly. Like, and that to me, I think particularly because Patrick and I, we have so many years in between us and our siblings, right. Both above and below.
Oh, I love hearing this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, like, it's very funny. We're, like, almost identical. So, Patrick, his eldest sister is 6 years above him. His younger sister is 6 years below.
And they're really tight.
They're all super tight. And right. Then my older brother is 6 years above me. My younger brother is 6 years below me. So, we have the exact same mirroring in our family. And we really loved... being the middle child, having an older sibling that we really looked up to,
wow. And
also having a younger sibling that was like our baby.
Oh my God, this is so relieving. So you don't feel inherently, because of how you were raised and how you feel good with your, the family structure, you don't feel rushed.
No. I don't feel rushed. And also, like, I think it's awesome when siblings are super close together. I've just never had that, you know,
right. It
was like my siblings also, like, we were never in the same class or like even in high school together. You know, it was like we were all in elementary school, middle school, or high school. Like, so we moved through.
From an outsider's eye, it sounds like you're doing good because you made it to a movie last night, which is fucking epic.
Yeah.
Like, that's really impressive.
Well, that
you look great, as
but
per
that,
usual.
It's really about people in my life, Patrick, my therapist, my friends, my parents, who have all been encouraging me. They're like, ask for help if you need a night off.
Yeah, see, we haven't talked about that in a long, hot minute on this show. That is really the thing. And this is what we talk about as far as, like, we'll get into this in a minute, but this whole millennials, you and I are both millennials.
Yeah.
I think I'm the first year of it. I was born in 82. And you're more in the, I don't know where you are, but you're in the millennial thing. But there's this whole thing about millennials burning out and always working hard, busting ass. Mm-hmm. It's never enough. You know, go, 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 go. We came of age at the cell phone, so you're reachable all the time. You should be able to work 24/7. And it makes motherhood hard because it feels like we should just always be kicking ass and taking names.
Totally.
And really, it takes a lot of fucking help.
Yeah.
And it's so hard.
Well, it's wild because, and I find this particularly with the phones, that I really don't want her to have screen time.
Me either.
And I mean, look, she's 4 months old right now. So, like,
good job. You're doing great.
I'm doing great so far. Although it is really tough when I want to take a bunch of photos of her and I'm just like, I'm sorry.
ignore. Yes, yes.
But so I have my phone somewhere near me and I'm breastfeeding like a lot during the day. And I noticed that, like, when I'm breastfeeding, I just want to be with her. And I want to be present. I want to be looking at her. And I can feel, whether it's on my Apple Watch
or the pull of your
phone. I just feel it buzzing, buzzing, buzzing. And people who don't have babies or don't know, obviously they don't know that I'm with her, like, they don't get why it's not. And
you're not responding
reaction.
Right away.
Oh, my yeah. God. And it's, and also it's so crazy because right now she's at a time where she can't sit up on her own. I can lay her down, but after, you know, a minute or two of looking at a thing, she wants to be on to something else. So it's totally constant. And really the only breaks that I get are when I put her down to sleep, you know, in her naps, and who knows if that'll be 5 minutes or an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And so the asking for help, whether it's just like, you know, Patrick, can you hold her for an hour while I go on a run? So like I can get out and like sweat today.
Mm-hmm.
I find that when I come back to her and I pick her up, it's like a battery that's been recharged. Suddenly I'm like not deplenished. I'm not, you know, like deplenished and I can,
yes.
Or is that what
is it? Is it deplenished?
No, I'm depleted.
I'm not depleted. You guys, this
mom,
is mine.
Brain. I'm not deplenished. Or I am.
Can we please start that as a hashtag? Because
hashtag
we're making up words.
Can you please just, that's
you're not
the hashtag for this.
Also, I'm applauding you for movies and I'm applauding you for not looking at your phone while breastfeeding. Because my mom used to be like, you're not putting the phone near his head while you're breastfeeding the whole time, 6 times a day. Like, I feel like the radio waves, I'm like, oh, mom, I'm looking at my fucking cell phone the entire time I was breastfeeding. It's horrible.
It's not horrible, but I did have that thing where I was like, come on. Like, well, my cell phone's always near me. So, like, what about me? And then I was like, well, the brain plates.
Yeah, it's
of
not
my,
good.
My
You're
skull
doing,
is actually
don't.
Fused.
It's
Hers
good.
Isn't.
She still has space in there.
She still has space.
I do remember being so relieved, though. Like, my milk supply went down. And someone had said, well, are you looking at your phone while you're pumping at work? Because the stress will make it so that you make less milk. And that was 100. As soon as I think it was Kristen Bell actually who told me, she would say, like, you have to go and like literally meditate while you pump. Totally. And it's the only way that milk is going to come out. Like it feels stressed. Fucking crazy.
Okay, guys, I want to take a little break here to discuss the app that I've been telling you guys about. Once again, you guys, it is called Drop, spelled D-R-O-P. If you haven't downloaded it yet, oh my gosh, please do. It is a must. It is making my life so much easier. All you need to do, you download the free app. Yes, I did say free. You link your debit or credit card to the app, and then you're done. You're easily going to start gaining points every time you shop at all your favorite stores. The stores can include, you know, Target, Starbucks, Sephora, Whole Foods, and like so many others. And after just a few trips to the store, then you're able to redeem your points for gift cards at all of these places. It's like cyclically amazing. So remember to use my code KatiesCrib. Then you get a $5 Starbucks gift card immediately just for signing up and linking your card. Again, the code is KatiesCrib. Okay, let's get back to KatiesCrib.
I don't know if you guys listening have read this article. If you haven't, I really encourage you to, because I feel like a lot of the listeners are all millennials. But there was this popular BuzzFeed article by Anne Helen Peterson in January called How Millennials Became the Burnout Generation, which just is angering, that title.
It is.
I sent it to you.
Oh, my God.
And what did you think immediately?
Oh, immediately I was like, there's no way I'm touching this. This isn't true. And then I read it and I was like, oh, this is so accurate.
You guys, the article talks about this widespread feeling of burnout among millennials, the generation of adults born between 81 and 96. It breaks down some of the factors contributing to this, such as, you guys, the unstable economy and job market, the intensive parenting that trained us to be in the constant state of working, a generation of type A students who have become now type A parents. First and foremost, have you feel this burnout?
Oh, God. Also, just that last sentence of like the type A people that are going to become the type A parents. Oh, wow. I'm so, yeah. I mean.
No, it's real.
It's so real.
It's really real.
And I couldn't help it. Literally, the minute she came out of me, the first thing I saw were her fingers. And I was like, she's going to be a pianist. And I was like, and then I saw her legs and I was like, she's going to be a runner and a dancer. And I was like, stop putting her in class. She just came out of you.
That's right.
But it's hard because we do. That is the way that we are trained
100.
To work and to commit ourselves. You know, it's
there's this whole long thing I've been reading in this book. We're going to talk to the author in a few episodes from now, but it's about how, you know, our parents were baby boomer generation. Mm-hmm. So they were like, go out, we'll see you at dinner. Call us if anyone's bleeding. We don't give a fuck. Like, best of luck to you.
Yeah,
go
yeah.
get on your bike and ride 2 miles to school. Like, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Our parents really went against that, and when they raised us, it was like overparenting. You're not going to get for a lot of us. You know, it was very. The term helicopter parenting came along, and now here we are, the product of that. Mm-hmm. You know, you can have it all. You're going to be the best mom in the world, and you're going to be super successful in your career, and you're never going to show anyone that you're fucking losing your mind while you're doing it, and you're going to be reachable by your phone 24/7.
Yeah.
And you're going to enroll your child to be at Stanford by the age of 5 or whatever.
Totally. Looking into it tomorrow. It's fine.
But the problem is that kids need to be bored.
Yeah.
They need to practice riding their bike at whatever age you feel like is safe for them to get to school at night at dusk, because at some point they need to be adults.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God. Anyway, we're very new moms, so we don't have to deal with that yet.
Yeah.
Thank God. So how do you feel like we've been going back and forth between mom brain and burnout, which you and I have both of.
Yeah.
Correct.
Hashtag deplenish.
Hashtag what fucking day is it? Am I at the right time, at the right place? Idea. I'm deplenished. Also, you guys listening, some of the signs of burnout, in case you're sitting here listening thinking it's not you, here are the chronic signs of burnout. Chronic fatigue, insomnia, forgetfulness, impaired concentration and attention. Physical symptoms include chest pain, dizziness, headaches. Oh, I got a lot of those. Increased illnesses, infections, cold, flus. How many Z-Packs have you guys taken this year, guys? Loss of appetite, anxiety, depression, anger, loss of enjoyment, not wanting to go to work or spend time with family, friends, pessimism, isolation, detachment, feelings of apathy and hopelessness, increased irritability, lack of productivity, poor performance. Great.
Literally check all of those. Like, sorry, are there more?
No, that's it.
I was like, I don't think I can handle anymore. It's funny because that, yeah, the way that our parents raised us, this feeling that you always have to be on or always bettering yourself, it's something that I struggle with a lot.
Me
and,
too.
And recently the most helpful thing, I say it's helpful because I'm hoping to God that it will be helpful, is, but it's certainly been beneficial to me so far, is meditation. It's
fuck,
so...
I was on a great streak as a New Year's resolution, yeah. And I have dropped it.
And
we're only at the end of January.
I know. You know what? Actually, because I just started back up. When I was my last couple months of pregnancy, I was doing like Vedic meditation, 20 minutes,
what's
two
Vedic
times a day.
What's Vedic meditation?
It's where you're given a mantra.
Oh, okay, okay, you know, okay, okay,
I always,
okay.
I always think of that like classic
that.
Scene in Annie Hall where Jeff Goldblum's like, I forgot my mantra. That was always me. I was always like, oh my God, I'm going to have to call and ask for my mantra again.
What is my mantra again?
What's my mantra
Mom brain. Okay.
But so that was amazing when I didn't have a child. And now, like I was saying, when she goes down for a nap and it could be 20
minutes. Do you meditate
minutes,
now with her?
So I am, well, what I'm realizing is that if I put my phone down, and I don't do that, breastfeeding is almost a type of meditation because I don't know when it's going to be done. I don't know when she's done. I literally just have to sit there and engage with her or not and just be quiet and breathe until she's done, because she gets, I've noticed that she gets very distracted, whether it's a light or a sound or a barking dog, and then she'll stop, but then she'll want to go back. So if I have any of that, like, okay, I got to move on to the next thing.
Yeah.
She gets frustrated.
Wow, so breastfeeding has been like a very centering, meditative state for you.
Totally.
And it was for me too. Well, yeah. No, I was on my phone for a lot of it. But when I was pumping, I was off my phone for a lot of it. And now it's over and, oh God, I was supposed to meditate in 2019. I did like a good 15 days in a row and then I forgot.
Well, I can actually, I mean, I actually have been doing, because I also love the Sam Harris podcast.
Yeah.
And he came out with an app called the Waking Up Podcast, the Waking Up app, which is really
let's
great
link to
guided
it. Because I'm on Headspace. People love Headspace. People love Insight.
And Headspace is great.
All
I haven't
great.
Tried Insight, but the Sam Harris one is really good because it also has these lessons that you can listen to talk about why it's beneficial. I mean, it's just Sam Harris talking about like free will versus premeditation. Like it's really interesting. But
so you find that meditation and like running, you said, are things
which
that all really help you
meditation.
With
meditation. Like I have to exercise, whether that's just even putting her in a carrier and going on a hike.
I know you're very good at that on your Instagram. You're good at it.
It's like the only thing I know how to post. I'm just like, here I am on this same hike.
She's on like a mountaintop with your baby in a stroller or like in a carrier, just like getting after it.
Well, because I get punchy. If I'm in the house, I get super punchy. And then, you know, Patrick comes home at the end of like a work day or something like that. And I'm just like, I haven't talked to anybody but the dog. It's somebody who can't talk back. And I kind of lose my, and he's like, okay, I'll be with our daughter. But that's really helpful, I find. Meditation.
I love that. We need to do that. And it's like, when during all of the burnout job situations that we're doing? Like, I just...
Well, I think that that's why, for me, it's about finding... If you can't find, obviously, 20 minutes a day, twice a day, like, I couldn't keep it up with a new baby. But I found a different way to meditate, which was... I knew she was going to go to sleep if I put her on a carrier, and I went out and I would walk without headphones, and I would just like look at a
freaking flower.
Yeah, exactly. Or when I'm breastfeeding, just be like, I'm going to sit here and be with her, because you notice it's the thought patterns that rise up that you're like, oh, this is the cycle of shit that's just always spinning in the back of my head. And if I never actually just take time to listen to it, then you find it affects you. In weird ways. So this is
very helpful reminder to me. Something we don't often talk about is this thing called invisible labor and emotional labor of being a mom. So like, and this was brought up in the article too, and you guys, you should read this article. It's really fascinating for you millennials out there. I think I'm the oldest millennial on the block. What was the year again? 81?
81.
Yeah, we're in 82, guys. I'm an old millennial, count in the group. Something we don't talk about is this, like I said, this invisible labor and emotional labor of being a mom. So the routine tasks involved with household, childcare, mental and emotional exhaustion, which I think is also adding to the burnout and is mom brain. But like, I was reading that it's not like you get to do less work because of your job after your day job. Do you know what I mean? It's like you're basically working two jobs right now.
Yeah.
You're an actor, you're a producer, you're a director.
Mm-hmm.
You do all of those things. Yeah. They take up a lot of hours of your day. You're also a mom, you're also running a household. As helpful and amazing as our husbands are, they truly are.
Truly.
But like the person who knows that at 11 a.m. today was my son's 16-month appointment, and the person who packed his snack bag, and the person that knew that he had to come home and have lunch after he had his shots, and where the Motrin is in case he has an allergic reaction or he has a bad reaction to the shots, that's me. That's not my husband.
Yeah.
Even though my husband's super fucking involved.
Yeah.
So I just added all of this shit on top of me also being an actor, hosting this podcast, hosting other things, running a theater company. How in the fuck are we supposed to do this? Like, how are you dealing with it?
So,
because you're very new.
Yeah, I'm super new, and I'm still in the dealing with it, which I guess we're always in.
No, I think
hilarious.
We get better.
My nanette just told me that there was motion detected in her crib right now.
And all you want to do is look at your
nanette.
And
all I want to do is look at my nanette and just be like, is she in or is she out? So the way that I'm dealing with it is, like, I'm realizing that we as human beings, we're limited. You know, exactly what you said. We feel like we just tack on being a mom to all of these things, or tack on all of these things to being a mom. Mm-hmm. And I want to be there for her all the time, but that's not possible because I end up, like, it's kind of what the phrase that I use is, like, I become an empty well because...
Ooh, I love that.
I'm somebody who needs to work. I love working. I love being creative. So are you.
And you want her to see that.
And I want her to see that.
Yeah.
And I find that if I don't fill up my, like, creativity well by, you know, even if it's meditation or exercise or when, you know, I go get coffee with my writing partner so we can talk about the new draft of a script, then I return to her and I don't have anything to give her. I literally, like, my creativity stores are low, and all I want to do is just, like, end up putting, like, a toy in front of her and being like, oh, I hope that, you know, makes you not want to cry for the next 30 minutes. But it won't. Like, otherwise, if I feel good and I'm refilled, I want to engage with her. I want to say, like, oh, what are you looking at? Are you looking at that light? No, you're looking at the other light. You're looking at this shiny thing. That's new.
Right.
Oh, my God, you're able to bend over in a completely different way.
I kind of think it's like the opposite of, like, I always ask people who have two or three kids now, I'm like, how could you love another baby as much as you love your first or whatever? And people always say, it's incredible, but, like, your heart is, like, your heart just gets
expands.
Bigger, right, to just include more people.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as I would like to say that I have been able to get bigger at what life has thrown at me, which is now motherhood on top of all the things I was also doing for my career, for my husband, for my family, you know, I don't think it's possible. Like, I just feel like it's never been more important to, like, take breaks, read a book, unplug, go turn off your phone, go for a walk, meditate, all of the whatever thing that is for you to do. Like, when I go see a play and I get a nanny and or a babysitter, or if I can't, like, if Adam and I, we have, like, you know what? We're at our nanny threshold this week. We can't do another Friday or Saturday night out. It's too expensive. This is ridiculous. But we really need to connect and we want to go see theater because that's something for us that really fills us up with joy. It's like we call in those favors. Like, I call in, you know, friends who will come. My brother will come and just watch the baby. He's already asleep. You just have to fucking sit here and watch TV.
Just, like, make sure that he doesn't
please
wake
let
up.
Me
it's
go.
Fine.
You know? But I've never felt more... That breaks for me are the most important thing to be a better mom to my kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, you can't, I want to figure out a good way to say this, but it was something that I was talking about with my therapist the other day that, you know, in order to love our children, they are the center of everything for us, but they can't also be the only thing. It's too much pressure. It's too much pressure for them.
Supposed to be raising them to leave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's
if you're
so
just like doing a job of making, I'm hoping, like, when I describe the person I would like to help support, independent is a word I use.
Yeah.
So they can't be the only thing in my life because then my life is going to be over when they go have their own
totally.
Life.
Well, and also they will feel that guilt of leaving you. They'll be like, oh my God, my mom is entirely dependent on me for meaning and purpose in her life. And that's crushing.
Crushing.
So crushing.
I have family members that are totally kids that have that.
Yeah.
So we're getting into a little bit our identity as moms, and for some, like we're talking about, it's an all-encompassing part of their lives. And I think there's this, for you and I being millennials and feeling this need to succeed, like, do you feel that pressure right now as a new mom, feeling this need to succeed as a mom?
Oh my God. So I used to, whenever there was like a new like actress who was having a moment, I used to have, you know, like, I wouldn't even like name their names, but like they'd crop up and whatever. And I'd immediately start to Google. I was like, well, when did they start acting? Like, so I know if
totally
I'm truly in publishing, it's like, oh, they started when they were four. Like,
totally
whatever. They started when
this.
They were like in the womb.
Yeah.
Now, whenever there's like somebody new, I'm like, yo, is she a mom? Does she have kids? Or has she just selfishly pursued this? And I'm like 4 months into this. Like,
that is hilarious.
Yeah, but
you're not wrong.
Yeah, and because now when I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, do I get to go do a play in New York?
You do.
Do I get to go? You do, but
you do.
It's wild to consider.
But what's amazing is that you're asking yourself a little bit right now, right? Because,
right?
I mean, like, look, I have a year and a half-year-old, but let me tell you, honey, as if I'm so experienced.
Right.
I'm not that experienced either.
Right, but you have the experience
you
do it.
Yeah, you'll
you
do it.
You do it, and you figure out how to do it, and you figure out how to make your work.
Yes.
With your situation, and it involves asking, like,
help. You already know that part, Troyann. That's huge. I was like,
I know, but it's about
really hard
it,
to ask
real
for
scary.
Help. Like, it's
super.
Like, I feel like we're both two women who are like, oh, we got it. We can do it on our own. Like, and motherhood has been the biggest thing for me. Like, I was so weak after I had Albie, and I was in such a bad way mentally. And I was like, I don't think I've ever said I can't do this.
Right.
To people. And motherhood was the thing for me. Where I was like, I can't do this. Like, this is so fucking hard.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's act like I've done harder things, meaning like I've done, you know, I mean, I haven't run a marathon, so that would not be it. But like I've struggled, and I haven't been able to fucking pay my rent, and I had no money, and I was broke, and things like that. But motherhood, for some reason, the mental identity shift was really fucking hard for me.
Well, maybe it's not that you can't do this, but maybe it's that you can't do this the way that you are accustomed to doing it. And I find that. For me,
brilliant.
That deplenish. For me, that's what I'm starting to learn, is that I used to, my parents used to call it, you know, that when, like everybody calls it this, but like they used to always refer to me as burning the candle on both ends.
Oh yeah.
They used to be like, Troyann, stop it. You're burning the candle.
My mom said that my whole life too.
Yeah. Cause I would go back to my room. I would study until 3 a.m. I would wake up at 6 a.m. and I would get up and do all of these other things for like student council. I'd be in the play, and I'd be on a soccer team, like whatever. And it just wouldn't end. And then my parents would just go, you're going to make yourself be sick in order to just take a break. And being a mom, I can't do that anymore. I can't, literally, now that I'm breastfeeding, I did one of those days where I was like, oh, I just won't pump. Like, I'll just run to this, and this. And I got home and I was like in tears
because pain.
My boobs were rocks, and I just didn't take 15 minutes. I had the pump with me in the car, and I was like, I'll make it. It's fine. Like, what was I rushed? Like, I don't understand what I was even trying to make happen.
Because for some reason, the idea of strapping the hands-free bra on, clicking in
all
the fucking pump parts, you're just like, I can't fucking do it.
I couldn't.
But no, you're going to have to
do it.
Because otherwise you're going to end up with rock tits, and it's so painful
it's
and so terrible.
Painful.
What do you think of the idea that motherhood is a job? Because there is this genius, and it almost brought me to tears, passage. I'm going to read it, listeners. So close your eyes if you're one of those people that likes to close their eyes while they listen to stuff.
Not if you're
that's
driving.
Better than me. But there's this passage from Year of Yes by Shonda Rhimes that expresses her views on the subject. Shonda says, being a mother is not a job. Stop throwing things at me. I'm sorry, but it is not. I find it offensive to motherhood to call being a mother a job. Being a mother isn't a job. It's who someone is. It's who I am. You can quit a job. I can't quit being a mother. I'm a mother forever. Mothers are never off the clock. Mothers are never on vacation. Being a mother redefines us, reinvents us, destroys and rebuilds us. Being a mother brings us face to face with ourselves as children, with our mothers as human beings, with our darkest fears of who we really are. Being a mother requires us to get it together or risk messing up another person forever. Being a mother yanks our hearts out of our bodies and attaches them to our tiny humans and sends them out into the world forever hostages.
It's so true.
That is so genius.
So genius.
Right?
Yeah.
And that is why our identity is shifting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is always going to be, no matter where I am in the world, no matter how fine she is or how old she is, there's going to be a part of my brain that's wondering, is she warm? Is she happy? Is she fed? Is she safe? And that never goes away. Exactly like she said, you can't quit that job. You don't ever stop worrying. And it does actually reconnect me.
Did you think about this shit when you were like,
No!
I didn't either.
I literally was just talking to somebody yesterday and I was like, do you think I didn't think about becoming a mom enough? And she said, which I'm so grateful for, she said, no, you couldn't have thought of this because you didn't experience it.
Yeah, you never just didn't know.
Yeah, if it had occurred to you, it wouldn't have made a difference. But now, as I think I told you last time, like, I see women crossing the street on their cell phones, drinking an iced coffee, and I just know, I'm like, I can smell that you don't have a child at home. I know, and I don't resent you for it, but you don't know what you have right now because you are just in your own world. And that's fine, and that's wonderful, and that's an experience that I had for 32 years of my life. Yeah. I was in my own world, and now I'm literally like, in somebody else's world. And it's
and
more,
something
I'm straddling
else is more
that.
Important than anything else.
Totally.
But we do need the other things, which I love that you brought up, to fill up our well.
Yeah.
But the identity shift really is, and it's so cheesy and lame, and I wish it was more complicated than this, but people are like, your priorities really change. And it could not, like, I just have one thing that comes above it all. Like, his health and his well-being and his safety and his happiness are more important than my own.
Yeah.
Like, it's so fucking crazy.
It's so true.
And I don't know if that's right or wrong, but it's just, like, how I feel. Like, it's just, like, he's just my true responsibility. And I've always felt, well, Adam is my responsibility. My dog is my responsibility. Mm-hmm. My parents are my responsibility. Right. I'm a very responsible millennial.
Yes, yes.
But I've never felt that so true to be the case until I had a kid. And like you guys know who are listening, it wasn't like that for me right away. And I want to talk about if that was for you, if your identity shift happened really quickly, because I did not like being a mom right away. And I did not like I feel bad saying I didn't like my kid right away because he wasn't, you know, he was just like a pooping, crying blob. But meaning I just was like, what the fuck is this stranger? Uh-huh. And I didn't feel... Maybe I was even resentful to the identity shift. I'm not sure, but I didn't take to it right away at all. And then all of a sudden at like 2 months, I got struck hard with this bolt of lightning of love for this kid. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started to feel, oh no, oh no, oh no. My sort of like blasé, I could give a shit about this, turned into anxiety of like, oh my God, now I'm worried. Like now I'm worried that my love is outside of my body and like I have to worry about this kid and I love him a lot.
Yeah.
Like that's now in my
it's
new
so
issue.
So scary.
Did you feel connected to her right away? Did you feel motherhood? I mean, when I first saw you, I was like, I think I saw you, she was like 6 weeks old or something.
Yeah.
I don't even know. But I was like, oh my God, Troy Belisario, you are a mother. In the most beautiful I mean, I don't know if it was, but it looked fucking easy. Or maybe, you know, I don't know what that is.
I don't know. I think it's interesting. I probably have experienced a latent.
That's
you
a
know,
thing
like
too.
I don't know if it's postpartum depression of any kind, but I've experienced it in a very delayed sense.
Oh yeah, because, I know someone who's 6 months.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was because during my pregnancy, I wasn't really, we were surprised by the fact that I was pregnant. We were ecstatic, but also 9 months is a long time to think about something.
Yeah.
And just be like, wow, how is this going to change our life and what's going to happen? And then also there was the like very hilarious, which I know that we've spoken about. I had always had the expectation for some reason, maybe it's because I was surrounded by brothers growing up, that I was going to have a boy. So when we found out that it was going to be a girl,
we haven't talked about this.
I was floored. I was shocked.
Were you worried?
of course I was worried because I was thinking about my relationship with my mother. I was thinking about, honestly, like my history with my eating disorder.
Of
I was just like, this is horrifying.
This is all of your shit staring you right in
literally,
the fucking
I was like,
goddamn
thank
face.
Thank you, universe.
Yeah,
great.
No, that's why. I mean, that's why she's here.
It's so true. Also, hilarious.
I mean, for many reasons, but those are some of them.
But it's so true. But also, like, hilarious side note. The one time I did ever, I had a dream once that I had a girl and I met her in a club. I saw this like blonde dancing, this like beautiful 18-year-old blonde. And like and I went out and I was like, oh my God, that's my daughter. This is before I was pregnant. And she turns around and she's like, Mom, what are you doing here? Get away from me. And I'm like, I just want to hang out with you, honey. And she was like, ugh. And I think she called me the C word. I think she was like, it's not your time. You're too old to be here. And I woke up and I turned to Patrick and I was like, our daughter is so mean. And he's like, you're not even pregnant. What are you talking about?
Wow.
That's the one, like, so my imaginings of a girl are just so, you're going to hate me.
Right.
And so I don't even know if mentally I could, you know, I could have any sort of expectations. I just didn't understand. I didn't grow up with girls. It was such a foreign, alien landscape to me. And thankfully, I had a really wonderful group of women around me. And as I've gotten older, I've become more and more better friends with women.
Good.
Love it. Which is just rad.
And also, Mom has even made that probably stronger.
So much stronger. And
has it really strengthened your... I feel like... Has it changed your relationship with your mom?
Well, her coming in changed my relationship because, A, I finally understood so much of my mother's opinion. And I was like, oh, right, you were somebody before me. And she'll probably need to be 33 before she realizes that. But, yeah, I was somebody before her. And now I'm just her mom to her for the next 33 years or whenever she gets context. But it totally changed it. Also, it's just nice to be able to see my mother give love to her in a way that's not burdened by our 33 years of experience, you know, like, cause to me, it's like my mom touches me and it's just, it's latent. There's so much in that touch and it's good
so
and
much
it's
history.
Bad.
Yeah.
There's so much history. She touches her and I'm just like, you love her. You just love her.
Oh, she loves her.
She loves her.
I ran into your mom and she was just like, I was like, wow, this woman is into being, she won't use that word.
She won't use grandma. Okay, she calls herself Amu.
Yeah, Amu, excuse me. Yeah, my mom's not using grandma either.
Yeah, I think that was like the first thing when we told her that I was pregnant. She was like, I'm not going to be grandma. And I was like, if that's what you're worried about, sure. I see where your priorities are, sure.
My mom's the same boat. My mom was like, absolutely not. My mom is not being called grandma. We're still sorting it out. And I was like, Mom, you better figure it out. Like, the kid has like a good 20-word vocabulary. Like, you
your
need to figure it out.
But wait, but your question was, was I immediately connected to her?
Yes.
So, when the birth happened... it was very funny because what I said about it is that Patrick looked at me and he was like, honestly, it's as if nobody told you that you had a baby inside of you. I was screaming, I was laughing, I was crying, I was shocked. And I kept on turning to him and saying like, oh my God, Patrick, it's a baby. And he was like, I know. And I was like, no, it's a baby. And I thought, I don't know what I thought. I thought it was going to be like a sketch of a baby or an IOU of a baby. Like, but she was there. She had 10 fingers. She had 10 toes. She had her ears. She had her eyes. Like, and so I was I am trying not to cry right now. She immediately, I just wanted to, I didn't want to be apart from her ever. I couldn't stop staring at her. I felt immediately love, responsibility, like adoration for her. She was awesome, like in the original sense, like the biblical sense of the word.
Yeah,
she was
like
awesome.
Huge, like this huge, amazing.
Yeah, I just couldn't believe it. And now.
It was almost like it was an idea to you or something. And then she came out and it was like, it became so real.
Yeah, because it didn't make sense. It was like, okay, great. We're going to have a daughter. That's lovely and sweet and like romantic with a capital R. Like we're having a daughter.
Yeah.
How wonderful. And then suddenly I was like, oh no, that's her. Like,
my daughter. Like,
that's my
girl.
Daughter. I'm always going to know her face, you know, hopefully if I'm lucky for the rest of my living days. Like, and that's wild that the way that Patrick and I talk about it is your whole life you've known your familial relations, right? You know what your brother's face looks like because you've seen it every day growing up.
Yeah.
This is a familial relation that you didn't know what they looked like until now in your life. And I was just bowled over by that, that there could be somebody who was so a part of us and so a part, will be a part of our lives, and we only get to meet them now.
I know, after your whole 30 years, your whole millennial experience, like, you are now...
Now I'm getting to meet this person, and it's awesome. And so I think that the love was overwhelming very early on, and now I think the depression or the postpartum experience that I'm having is balancing, like you're talking about, that, like, oh God, now that I know that crushing love and adoration for somebody, how do I balance that? How do I balance that when, like...
It's really hard.
I mean, like, to be honest, right now, I'm listening to Michael Pollan's How to Change Your Mind about, mm-hmm. you know, doing psychedelic drugs, and I'm just like, I need to be in the jungle doing ayahuasca. I can't be here with you breastfeeding.
Let's get on a plane right now and go to Peru.
Babe, I gotta go to Peru to talk to a shaman.
Yeah, let's go to the Amazon. I mean, seriously,
but,
I know.
But your life is inalterably changed, you know?
Inalterably changed.
And that is something that I still, 4 months in, have not wrapped my head around, and I'm constantly being smacked upside the head by it every day. You know,
yeah, so like how to juggle it all.
How to juggle it, yeah. How to say, like, this is an important life experience to me. I need to do it. I need to figure out how to bring her with
me. It's all asking for help.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, in my 1 year and 3 month experience.
What is it about,
that's all I've known, is that it's all help, I think. And... hopefully everyone listening, like, your support system of friends, family, aunties, again, like, yeah. It's like Dr. Karp said, this horrible millennial thing of, like, you can have it all and you can do it all is bullshit. Because especially the idea of motherhood, because mm-hmm. this is truly something that 5 people would raise 1 child. Yeah. And that is just not the truth anymore. And so when you would get some sort of opportunity that you loved, some creative fulfillment or something, or a job that paid your bills or whatever the hell it is, you could leave the baby with aunts, grandmas, someone who also unconditionally, like, loved your kid.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm just paying for that. And well, my nanny's amazing, but, like, I have to. Like, my parents don't live here. Right, I'm like, we're in a totally new...
But also, like you're saying, you reach out to your friends, you reach out to your community... And that also, like, let's be honest, I'm not, you know, saying that you want to take away people's time, but, like, it's elevating their experience too. Like, I have a lot of friends that, you know, love hanging out with her, and they would treasure the opportunity to get to spend some time.
Absolutely.
And that means so much to me to get to, even if it's just like, I'm going to go, you know, have a bath upstairs, like, talk about the fourth trimester. Can you hold her while I actually go to the bathroom for the first time today?
Oh, get ready. I just read some Instagram, like, motherhood's for you if you don't mind changing your tampon while a 3-year-old toddler stares you in the face. Because, like, that's my normal. Because, like, when your kid starts walking and doesn't let you go to the bathroom by yourself and you're trying to change your tampon and the kid's just unrolling the toilet paper roll while you're changing your tampon, you're just like, this is just what motherhood is. How have you had any sort of thing about getting in touch at all with with the person you were before you turned into a mom? See, you're breastfeeding now, so I don't know if have you, like, gone out on a rager yet? Because that shit's weird.
So here's the hilarious thing is Patrick and I, like, I had a meltdown the other night because I was just like, first of all, that was my biggest meltdown when I was pregnant. Was that, like, and not that, look, I'm not advocating for doing illicit drugs, but, like, I was pregnant suddenly, and I was like, I've never had a Hunter S. Thompson experience in Vegas.
I never have,
like,
either.
Why have I never got, like,
is it too late for us? I don't think so. We can do it.
We can do it. But I was like, you know, every year of my life, all of my friends and usually my husband have gone to Burning Man, and I could never go because I was on the show. And then this was actually supposed to be my year, past year, to go to Burning Man.
No.
Yeah. And, like, all my friends were gearing up and they're like, it's going to be amazing. And I was pregnant.
Nope,
and they
you're
were
not
like,
going.
You can come. And I was like, dude, I am 8.5 months pregnant. It is boiling hot in the desert. Y'all going to be doing your thing. And I'm just going to be sitting here having people, like, on mushrooms touch my belly and be like, you're a fertility goddess. Like, I'm not down for that.
Nope.
So... God bless it, maybe in the future. But I did have this, like, oh, I can't do this. I have to be responsible for somebody else because, A, they're using my body to grow. And now I'm using my body to feed her. And so I do have this, like, and now that I put her down at 7 and I do a dream feed at 11, mm-hmm. even if I drink a glass of wine
at 11:30.
You know, like at 11:30, or even if I, you know, like put her down, drink a glass of wine, wait a few hours for it to pass out of my system or pump, whatever. It's like I'm still very limited in my experience of who I used to be when I could go out. And Patrick always kind of reminds me, he's like, but you never really went out and got wasted. I'm like, but it's now I want to.
And it's now the point that you can't.
And no, that's the frustrating thing.
We're not used to being told no.
No.
This is bullshit.
Yeah, that's the wild thing.
Well, here's what you have to look forward to.
Oh, no.
When you go, no, it's great. No one goes harder than a group of moms who have had nannies or mother-in-laws or moms or yeah. husbands or significant others watching their baby for the night. I went out with a mom crew last Monday night and I threw up all night long. And I haven't done that in 100 years. I was so fucking trashed. Because the point is yeah. like, you're still like, I can go so hard like I yeah. used to, except you can't because you're exhausted and you have like 5 tequila drinks and you mm-hmm. end up throwing up. But anyway, the other thing I was thinking about was one time I did get really, 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 they say the new rule is, and don't mm-hmm. quote me on this, I'm not a doctor. If you can drive, you can nurse.
Yes.
So like,
yeah, I've read that.
Yes.
As well.
Like, so you don't really want to be buzzed, but if you've had 2 glasses of wine and you've had a whole bowl of pasta, most likely you're, mm-hmm. you would be fine to drive a car in 2 hours and you can nurse, whatever. One time I was so, I couldn't take it anymore. Like I had given this child my body for a year and then I'd been nursing for a year and it was like enough yeah. already. So I got completely wasted while nursing and I pumped. I was like, I'm just pumping and dumping and pumping and dumping. And all I have are photos of me on our kitchen floor pumping. I'm ass naked. And then I woke up in the next morning and there's just the bottles of the milk. And Adam wrote drunk all over the bottles in the fridge. Oh, and was like, do not give these to our son. This is like such a mess. But yeah. I think that there is, I think you and I are in this really sort of why I wanted to talk to you, even though mm-hmm. I know motherhood is very new to you. And it's new to me as well. And we're both struggling through this identity yeah. shift crisis. Versus I just think some of the moms who are my dear friends who have older kids, you know, in their teens, I think they've sort of just accepted that they are a mom, which is yeah. awesome. And you and I will hopefully get there.
Yeah.
But I think you and I think we're just still like reaching. Like I still am like, I was that person. I just went to New York for the, you know, for 2 days by myself. I was out till 3 o'clock in the morning, both nights. Like
yeah.
who the hell do I think I am?
Right.
I still had to come back here and take care of my kid. It was yeah. like I had the flu. I was like taken down
it's
for
like a
week.
Fever dream.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my God.
Because I just really went hard.
Yeah. Well, that was, and my experience, I think over, I think it was Christmas or something. Yeah. I put her down and I had, God, I had like 2.5 glasses of wine, which for me, of course, like at that point, you know, she's 2 months old. I was so tired and so out of it and I hadn't been sleeping and I was like, oh, whatever. This was amazing. And I felt good and I was laughing. And then of course she woke up an hour later and was crying and then needed me. And I was like, oh, this is horrible.
Oh God.
I can't do this to myself and I can't do this to her. And I was like, you know, I wasn't drunk, like holding her, but I was exhausted.
Yes.
And it is fascinating that you just feel totally different. There's a totally different set of circumstances. And I don't know what it is or when
I have
I'll
friends
get
who
experience.
Like a mom and dad, like they make rules. Like mm-hmm. if one person like gets drinks or smokes weed or whatever it is, yeah. the other person doesn't because they're like afraid, God forbid, like they needed
something
to drive
happens.
To the hospital. I'm like, okay, this is like too much. We have Uber, right?
Yeah.
Like I can't, like I'm not going to spend the rest of my life. Like Adam yeah. does something and I'm not, or I am. That's insane.
No,
but
totally.
I do know people that do that.
Yeah. They might go real hard.
That's
maybe
true.
Maybe the thing is they just go real hard.
Just please tell me on this podcast that our days of Burning Man or like going for a weekend in Vegas, they're not over, right?
No. I don't think so.
We're just not there yet.
No, we're not there yet. But soon.
We're just like itching. She's itching her neck.
Itching my neck.
The work-life balance. I feel a little bit further ahead than you. You will get it.
Yeah.
And I hopefully will only get better at it. And you are a wonderful reminder of me to ask for help because I have not been doing a great job at that. Do you have any words of advice for new moms who are trying to figure out who the F they are? Good luck.
Yeah. Good luck. But also, like I was saying, go easy on yourself, you know, and like remember whether you're 4 months in, whether you're, you know, a year in or more, like just go easy on yourself and know that it's going to be constantly changing and know your limits because I'm constantly learning my limits. I push it. I burn the candle at both ends. Just the other night, I'm like literally editing a short film right now that I shot and wrote when she was 9 months, when I was 9 months pregnant, And now I'm like finally getting around to editing it. And I put her down and it was 11 and I asked Patrick for help and he was giving me notes in the middle of the note session. I just started crying and I was like, I can't hear this right now. I'm so tired. Why did I? And he's like, well, why did you ask me? I'm just trying to, you asked me. And I'm like, no. I'm so grateful that you would be willing to do this with me and try, but like, I need sleep right now. And it was heartbreaking for me to feel that because in the past,
you would have worked till forever
again. I would have worked until 3 a.m. Who cares? Like, because I would have woken up when I woken up, like when I had woken up and I would have been fine. But now I have to be there on call for somebody whenever she needs me. And that is, you know, as Shonda said, like, it's a job you can't quit. It's a job you can't defer or pass on to somebody else. You can ask for help, but ultimately, you know, I'm her, you know, number one. So just go easy.
We don't
want
you to get too deplenished.
Yeah, don't get deplenished. Don't deplenish yourself for the sake of someone else.
No, guys, child. Don't get too deplenished because we want you to be good, the best moms you can be, but also not be too deplenished.
It's that classic, and I know that like it's such a thing that moms say to themselves all the time, but it really does help. It's that the air mask in the airplane, right? You have to strap on your own air mask in order to help somebody else.
I've never thought about that.
Oh, really?
I mean, now that you say it, I feel like I've heard it, but that's good.
You have to, and that's like the first thing of motherhood. It's like,
we got to strap on our own motherfucking
You have to. It's like, she's been screaming at me, and I'm like, baby girl, I'm going to piss myself if I don't pee. Come with me to the bathroom. I know you're hungry, but I promise as soon as this happens.
Or like, I'm going to pee, and then I will feed you.
Yeah, and then I will feed you. I'm never not going to feed you. You're going to get fed, whether it's like in 30 seconds or now.
Brilliant.
Yeah. So that's all I can.
Taryn, you are a beautiful mom.
Thank you.
This was so excellent. Like, you are, you're killing it.
Well, I really have to say thank you to you.
Oh, please.
No,
oh my God.
You know that you've been such an inspiration for me, whether it's, you know, personally.
You're an inspiration to me. I got to remember the air mask. I got to remember to ask for help. I mean, this is like, we're going to be teaching each other for a long time.
Yeah, I'm really stoked about it.
Thank you guys so much for listening to Katie's Crib. And be sure to check out shondaland.com where you can find every episode of Katie's Crib. And we've got crib notes for each episode where you can find out more about our guests and links to some of the resources we talk about on the podcast. And last but not least, subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, basically like wherever you get your podcasts.